Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who currently has a drifter in his anal passage and is trying to generate electricity. It's Richard Herring! Back reference to weeks ago, as this is... That Richard Osman episode was about 3 weeks ago. Why am I talking about that all of a sudden? It's very confusing the order these are going to go out in. Hello, welcome to another episode of Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast. I was talking to a guy down in the hospital. He had an eel in his... It was a living eel, but it was inside his anal passage. He calls it Rahalastapa, so I don't know if that's going to catch on. We'll just have a quick chat with the audience before we crack on. I've got a cab in 1 hour, 20 minutes, so I've got to wrap up about 1 hour, 10 minutes. That's what we're aiming for, so I don't want to waste too much time. There's a handsome young gentleman here in the front row. Don't laugh as if that's ridiculous. What's your name?
Roy.
That's good. And what do you do for a living, Roy?
I'm an insect scientist.
You're an insect scientist. Now... Do you do science on insects, or are you an insect that has evolved? And it's both of those things. What is... Oh, my God. As a comedian, this is all you want, OK? You just want the person you pick on the front row to have a ridiculous job, and the rest of it is easy. Do you work in the insect scientist business, or are you... Are you with each other?
I'm retired.
You're a retired insect scientist. Have you ever
created a pod that so you can transport and change partly into an insect. Have you ever done that? That's what I imagine your main... That's the holy grail of insect scientists, isn't it? Is that you will invent the pods and you become your favourite insect. It didn't work. Look, for me, it looks like semi-successful for you, man. What's the best insect you've ever done an experiment on? Yes, you've got to think about it because that's a difficult question. A wasp. Yeah, I mean, technically that is an insect. I mean, it just is. So, six legs, right? Bang. Is there any more to it than that? Just know it's it. Yep, that's an insect. Yep. Yeah, that's an insect. Arachnid, mate. That's mainly what it involves. What did you do? What evil experiment did you do on? I mean, imagine most insect-based... Right, you tried to get a spider wasp to lay eggs into a spider in a tank. You are weird and evil. So I'm guessing a spider wasp lays its eggs in spiders. Yeah. That's what I'm guessing from what you've said. That just sounds like a bit of fun at the Christmas party. That doesn't sound like an experiment. That's like it does that. Go and look at that in a spider's nest in the wild. Don't do that in a laboratory. What did you discover? Oh, it was in the wild. Whereabouts were you? Where does the spider wasp... It was in South America. What a life he leads, David. Where's nuclear physics taken you? Where's the most... Switzerland. Rubbish, mate. He's been in South America. It's with spider wasps. What did you learn from your evil experiment?
They don't like being in cages.
I bet you learnt spiders don't like having eggs laid inside them. Are the spiders alive when they have their eggs laid inside them? And then do they hatch and eat the spider and kill it? God. I mean, the insects fucking deserve it, don't they? They're evil. They deserve your evil experiment. Are you trying to... Can you harvest... I'm going to talk to him for an hour and 10 minutes. I'm genuinely interested in it. Are you trying to extract insect technology to put it into humans so we'll become better soldiers in a future war? That's not your department. There are guys doing that. That's what, if I was doing your job, that's definitely what I'd be doing. I'd be trying to make people who could shoot webs out of their fingers and stuff, but in an evil way, not like Spider-Man. With great insects comes great responsibility. So lovely to meet you, Roy. I remembered your name. That's how impressed I am with you. So our guest this week could not possibly beat that, and that is whoever they were, they could not beat an insect scientist. They're backstage going, fuck, I wish I'd done an experiment. I'm going to ask her what experiment she's done on insects. I used to get ants to get on a piece of newspaper and then set fire to it. Same thing, innit? I was 28 years old when I did that, mate. Thank you. My guest this week is more interesting than you, mate. You'll never be up here. Never. What are you doing next week? She's probably best known from her appearance on Dick and Dom's Funny Business, and there is no business that is funnier than Dick and Dom's Funny Business. It's Katie Wicks, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Welcome to the show.
Firm handshake.
Tell us a bit about Dick and Dom's Funny Business. Do you remember being on that show?
Don't get them mixed up or fucking hell. I go mad. Actually, I do remember. It's quite funny. I was in a sketch which was Dragon's Den, but animals. Mm. I made you really spit your water out. It's a funny concept, isn't it?
It is. So what animals were doing...
It was written by, do you remember Ed Weeks?
Yes.
He's in that show now, isn't he?
He's like incredibly famous in America, isn't he?
Gone across the pond. He wrote it, and it was quite funny actually. It was the dragons were dressed in big animal costumes, and people were coming on pitching inventions that animals would want. It's quite a sweet idea.
Oh, yeah,
not ashamed of it, certainly.
No, good. It's like a bit like what he does. He's an insect scientist. That guy there. I'm mainly going to talk to him throughout the show. I read an interview with you where you were auditioning for a Dragon's Den sketch without realising that it was a Dragon's Den
that's
sketch.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
It was... They do it... Do you want me to help you? Yeah. getting on a bit.
I'm quite an old man now.
Getting
on.
Oh,
look
on.
At your brain, smashed my
that,
book.
That was done before.
You smashed my book in
my catchphrases. Sometimes when you have an audition, they suddenly spring something on you and say, actually, can you just read this? And you haven't seen it before. So it was for a sketch show, and they said, oh, can you just sort of do this? And they handed me a sketch, and it said Dragon 1, Dragon 2. And I sort of said, yeah, okay, fine. I was quite young and keen, not like now. And so I saw Dragon 1. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do Dragon 1. So I started doing this Welsh accent because I thought, you know, that's how a dragon naturally would sound, and fire-breathing stuff. And then I slowly realised it was a sketch about Dragon's Den. So I slowly morphed it into an impression of Deborah Meaden, which is weirdly not that difficult to do from a Welsh dragon. I don't know how, but I got the job. Yeah, I got away with it.
And then the
same thing nearly happened again, because then they gave me another sketch, which was Spook 1, and that was about the show Spooks.
Yeah.
And I was about to be a ghost. So
that story could have turned out a lot worse, I can tell you that. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up. That's a nice
it's good.
Story to tell.
You've done... I mean, I first saw you in Edinburgh when you were doing a double act with Anna Crilly.
Yeah.
Are you still working together?
She's dead.
Has she died? That's sad. So,
no, not really. Well, she moved out of London. She's had children.
Yes.
I still don't have any. So our lives went like this a bit. No, not so much.
How did you start working together?
Well, are you still with Avalon?
Yeah.
Okay. How did we start with... She was already doing stand-up in London. She's a brilliant stand-up. And we met, and I was doing stand-up too, and I was pretty awful. And we did the Funny Women competition, it was called. You remember
yes,
that?
I do.
Which would make sense. And we were both in the final together, and I remember that we were... I think I was the only one laughing at her and vice versa. It was like a date that had gone really well. We were sort of... Her act was quite surreal. And she did the whole thing about growing up without feet or something. And, yeah, I just remember we kind of went, oh, OK, yeah, I see, we get each other. And that was that. But I still lived in Wales, and I remember that she had to call my parents' landline and say, is Katie there? And I was upstairs asleep. My mum said, there's a comedian on the phone for you. And I was about 23 or something, and I was like, yeah. And she said, do you want to do some sketches? I said, yeah, all right. So I used to go up to London on the train and write with her in a pub, and then stay in a bed that was Dermot O'Leary's bed that she'd won in the competition.
Dermot O'Leary's
yeah,
bed?
Yeah, just the bed, not
she
him.
Won in a competition?
Yeah,
what competition was this?
Yeah. It was one of those Saturday morning... well, like life's competition.
Did Dermot O'Leary know about the competition? Or
oh,
was
I
it
think
just,
it was his idea.
Yeah, it was his idea. Win his bet. We'll steal it for you.
It was his want.
He'll come back. Did he change his sheets? Was it still his sheets?
They were really excited about that. I wasn't bothered. He's not my cup of tea.
Okay. So you did some Edinburgh shows together. I mean, you're very successful very quickly, both of you. That led on to...
Well, I think our first ever Edinburgh was our best, our most successful. We sort of took it for granted. We didn't realise that it was, if that's not a bold claim, that it doesn't usually go that well when you first go up. You don't usually get 5-star reviews. And then it went downhill from then on. The difficult second album and all that. But, we were together for like 10 years.
Right, yeah.
So it is quite weird to be doing stuff. We do more stuff on our own now, and it does feel lonely sometimes. It does feel odd. You must know what I'm talking about.
I know.
Although you...
I know what you're talking about.
It's a funny relationship, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Like a marriage.
Yeah, but often I find female double acts kind of get on with each other forever. And
that's because women are raised to not be confrontational,
socialisation,
yeah.
I mean, I find it weird when male double acts like each other still, you know.
Yeah, Vic and Bob never argue, do they?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
There are a few people. Like Ant and Dec seem to like each other.
Dick and Dom are
Dick and Dom?
Complex.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
They've done very well, Dick and Dom, I think, for, you know...
Kids. I wonder if they're bitter, though, about how
well,
it's gone.
A weird thing, isn't it? Like, Trevor and Simon were the kind of Dick and Dom of the previous generation
great.
Who were amazing.
I've worked with them.
They seemed to have held it together because they were really properly successful. And, you know, and then it's difficult to make
they
that
were
transition.
They really, like, inspiring.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're still working, Trevor and Simon. I must get them on here. I love Trevor and Simon.
Oh,
do
you
want
must.
Trevor and Simon? Would you come and see Trevor and Simon?
Yeah. Okay. I would.
We'll have them on. If they want to. I'm not going to force them. We're going to give away their beds. There's a competition.
They're one bed.
They probably have one bed. That's what all
double
acts have.
It's funny if they said
bed.
No, they didn't want to do it.
They don't want to do it. They seem very nice. I'd quite like to get the Wurzels on.
Are they still going?
The Wurzels congratulated me on the birth of my son on Twitter.
Was the Wurzels nothing to do with Wurzel Gummidge?
No, they're nothing to do with Wurzel Gummidge.
What were
they
again?
The Wurzels are very famous. They're probably Somerset's most famous band.
I don't remember
of
them.
Doing yokel songs.
What year are we talking?
Well, they've been going for 50, 60 years. Okay. Adj Cutler was the original lead singer of the Wurzels, and he died in a car crash in about 1968. It's a bit like the story of the Doors.
I nearly died in a car crash.
Yeah.
My
producer Ben mentioned it and said I should ask you backstage whether you're happy to talk about it. But you
To be okay. I should wake up with a sort of, you know, renewed optimism every day, but I don't.
So it's quite a serious car accident.
Yeah, it was. It was like, it's very sincere when I tell it.
That's good.
It was not the vibe.
show.
It was about 9 years ago. It was quite serious. My dad was driving. But the safety belt broke all the bones that it came into contact with.
Right. That doesn't sound good.
No.
That doesn't sound like it's doing its job.
My life, I suppose. Well, no, that is doing its job, isn't it? The airbag went off too late. I remember that. So that was, you know, get a refund on that.
Yes.
It wasn't nice. So I broke... I mean, there's, you know, it's too grim if I go into it in detail.
Okay. But you were badly hurt, but were you going to do Edinburgh that year? Was it just before Edinburgh or something like that?
Yeah, but then also I was on such heavy painkillers, which are quite addictive, so that brings its own problems. And then our first ever Edinburgh, I think I was just coming off the codeine.
Right.
I was like slowly reducing it. And so it was quite a trippy show anyway, and then add to the mix like a slightly drugged experience. I think that's why it was our best year in a way. I was less self-conscious.
Wow.
Which is the idea, that's what drugs do.
Yeah. Well, you're
that's
very young, so you're young, early 20s.
Yeah.
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 And does it change your outlook on the world?
Well, I can't drive. Right. And I couldn't before, but I just feel like a car is like a big weapon now.
Yes.
So I see
it is.
A practical weapon, handy weapon.
Yeah.
But my dad didn't drive afterwards because he felt like he didn't sort of trust himself. And the guilt as well of injuring your own child, that was horrible for him.
That all the time. Every time I'm in a car with my family, it's just terrifying. You just sort of think, we can all go together.
It's the responsibility I don't think I can bear about driving. I don't know if... Maybe if I have kids, I'll have to learn.
Yeah. Give it a go.
We'll get Ubers everywhere. Yeah. No, that's not, we're not supposed to. It's not ethical.
No.
But it happens.
Yeah, it does happen. Well, we'll talk about some comedy now.
Oh, yeah.
It was too early to get into the serious bit. We'll come back to the... Once I've relaxed you with some comedy...
The structure
we'll
of
come
life
back and we'll talk about near-death experiences. That's exciting.
Yeah, great.
The moment you're in a show called The Windsors, where you play Princess Fergiana from the royal family.
Is that what she's called?
No. That's what I call her.
Why did you say it? Because that's what you call
that's
her.
That's what I call her, Princess Fergiana. Because it's better than Fergie.
Okay.
Do you play Fergie, Sarah Ferguson?
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's. I don't know if there'll be any more, but two series have been out. We're just waiting to hear. Yeah, that was an amazing job.
And Harry Enfield's in it.
Yeah.
And
dear old Harry.
He's got quite an
He's
amazing
very
cast.
Sort of avuncular with everyone. It's lovely.
I've never met Harry, I don't think.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
That seems odd.
Yeah. It's like he's trying to avoid me, or am I trying to avoid him?
Oh no, it is you. He doesn't. Yeah, that's right. No, it is you. He doesn't like. That was a great job. I mean, she's a lot older than me, but I did it in a read through, and then they said, "Oh, just do it anyway. It's not a documentary. It's fine."
So is it quite?
Do it anyway.
What's the vibe of the Windsors? How would you describe
it?
I haven't seen it.
It's a bit. It's kind of in the same vein as Spitting Image. It's this big, heightened, you know, satirical. Everyone's kind of grotesque. It's really funny. It's a really sort of smart script. Really. It's written by these two guys, Bert and George. It does a really clever thing of having quite broad appeal, kind of in a soapy way, about this ridiculous family. But also really, like informed, good satire. Yeah,
it's funny. And did you research Princess Fergie for that?
Oh, I went down a real rabbit hole of YouTube video. I watched all her Oprah interviews. I ended up feeling so sorry for her because she really like emotionally will like slit her wrists in every interview. She won't hold back. She's just desperate to be like seen and heard. There's something really sad about that. But she's also had a really dramatic life, and loads has happened to her.
Yeah.
So I ended up feeling kind of a bit bad.
I always felt that she was the big target of jokes. Certainly, like when I in the 80s and 90s when I was starting to write topical stuff, and it was all I always felt like there was always just the same joke about it. It was all about her. That, there was just a running joke about having a fat ass, I think, wasn't there?
Yeah,
and it just sort of seemed, even then I just thought. That just seems
and about
so.
Her freckles.
Yeah,
and her
just seems so weak.
Weird dress sense. It was too obvious for you. I understand.
But you know, she wrote. Yeah, I was very sophisticated. I'm not interested in jokes about asses. It's not, not the only like the eight jokes about anuses. And her anus is of a normal size, as far as I'm aware.
The actual.
She wrote Budgie the Helicopter, didn't she? Did you reference that in the
I don't
the
think so. I don't think so. Yeah, isn't that great? she did.
And the daughters are characters in it as well.
Yeah, yeah. They seem crazy, don't they? Really bonkers. Yeah. I don't really know. I didn't research them.
No. It's a weird thing, the royal family. It's in... We talk about Prince Andrew a lot in this podcast, and then
then
have to edit it all out.
Yeah.
But he was, of course, married to Princess Fergie.
Yeah, I get into trouble actually because I'm definitely not a royalist, and sometimes in the press stuff you have to do, people ask you, you know, and what's your opinion about the royal family, and I have to say, oh, don't ask me that. Because I'll get into trouble. So that's how I answer.
Yeah.
Which is really obvious in the way I'm saying, don't ask me that.
I think the problem with the royal family, the Queen at the moment, she seems to have like two massive parties every year, not just because for her birthdays, but there's always like there's too many anniversaries.
Of something.
Like she's just about to, last she's year, about a month and a half ago, she was doing her 70th wedding anniversary. And then she was like 90, and then she was like 60 years on. It's just like every 6 months, oh, we'll get Brian May on the roof of Buckingham Palace again. It's too much. One party a year, maximum.
Yeah, it's like real attention seeking,
yeah,
isn't
it's rubbing,
it? Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I've remembered something. Oh, well done.
Do you think they'll get to 80 years married, Elizabeth and Prince Philip? Prince Philip just seems to hang on like... No, he's unkillable.
Yeah.
He was very ill at the same time as Nelson Mandela was very ill.
Right.
And I did a joke about who would go first and would prove whether God was racist or not. And it turns out God's racist.
It doesn't surprise me.
But it's amazing. You know, Nelson Mandela died a long time ago.
God doesn't make any sense in his decisions.
He's a buffoon in many ways. So you were born in...
He's an absolute tyrant.
No offence to anyone who believes there's a massive, perfect person in the sky who's created... loads of imperfect people to judge by his own standards for some reason. Seems like a weird thing to do to me when he didn't have to do anything. Could have just sat back and enjoyed himself. Decided to make you judge you. Yeah, or herself. Probably sexless, if there's just one of
them. I hope so.
You were born and grew up in Pontypridd.
Sort of.
Well, where were you born?
Well, I was born in Pontypridd Hospital, but I grew up in Cardiff.
Okay.
It's important to...
No, I was going to ask you about who was the most famous person in
from
Ponty.
I think Tom Jones is from Ponty. Yeah. My dad went to school with him roughly at the same time,
okay.
A couple of years ago. That's all I know about Ponty.
Yeah. River Taff goes through there.
Mm, yeah. Correct.
A lot of bridges in Pontypridd. That's
yeah,
where it
shitloads of bridges.
That's where
it
got his name. He used to have a lot of wooden bridges over the Taff.
Is that why? I didn't know. Okay. Thank you.
Should learn about where you were born. That's why I have to do. Have to learn about it all. You've been in Celebrity Squares.
Oh God, yeah, it was
tell
awful.
Me all
oh,
about
it was
Celebrity
absolutely
Squares.
Dismal. It was awful because something really tragic had just happened in my life, and then rather than cancel, I did it, and then nearly cried. It was awful, as Gino De Campo was talking.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, my God, I need to cry, but I can't.
I've been in his house.
Oh, yeah, maybe I've heard this story. Yeah. Were you going to buy his house?
I was well, I looked around, I was never going to buy it. It was
Did
awful.
He mention the crying girl in the square below him?
Did he mention what?
Yeah, the crying girl
he didn't
in the
mention
square
that,
below
no.
him.
He had a lot
he's
of...
He's a real idiot.
Weirdly, he's been on Through the Keyhole with Keith Lemon, and he had his Through the Keyhole key.
He looked like he'd been through
there.
A keyhole.
Yeah.
He did.
And I always felt like I was doing Through the Keyhole, but I didn't
used to
know,
love
I didn't
that
know
show.
Who he was.
I was always really good at guessing.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I was weirdly good at it.
When Lloyd Grossman did it.
Yeah, we're talking, I don't know, when I was a teenager, 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
It was on at lunch sort of in the afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
David Frost used to present it.
Yeah, which is weird, isn't it? That's a real fall from grace, isn't it? For him.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
They're not going to make a film about Through the Keyhole.
Yeah,
Frost Grossman.
Yeah. Yeah. I could really see it though, head to head. Beautiful. Get Michael Sheen to play both of them.
Grossman's mainly gone over to the pasta sauce business.
Yeah, he's
now.
Gone quiet, isn't he?
It's mainly there's a lot of
he must be quite old now.
What's your favourite celebrity based food product that you can buy in a supermarket?
The first thing I think of is the old Newman.
There
he's
is,
quite
yeah.
cool, isn't he?
Yeah. Have you tried Barry Norman's pickled onions?
Is that real?
It is.
You
real.
Think he would do popcorn?
You would, but you know, Barry Norman, he always took a swig. My one regret in life is that I didn't try Barry Norman's pickled onions until after he died.
You've got more to
and
regret.
That is my
than
only
that.
Regret because I would. They're nice,
that.
And I would like to have told. I'd like to have been able
no,
to tell him in person.
You must regret loads. I don't.
I love
you.
Pickled onions, and his pickled onions are well worth a crack if you. They sell them in supermarkets. You don't believe me. It's true. And they've got like a little thing on the top saying Barry Norman. There's a little story of how Barry Norman came up with it. I think it's still written in the present tense, which I find offensive. I don't know if he just made a big supply of them before he died and that they're still selling them off. I hope so, because if they're not, if someone else is making them, I'll be very cross. This should be all Barry Norman's
it
mates.
Written in
onions.
The past tense on the packaging. It's right.
But pickled onions can last a long time, so he could have made them all. That's the whole point of pickled onions. I mean, I think onions yeah. can last quite a long time, to be honest.
I've never had
I don't know
pickled
if you need
onion.
To pickle them.
That show, is it called I've Never Seen Star Wars?
The Witch, yes, I've never seen Star Wars, yeah.
I would be such an ideal candidate. There's so many things I haven't done.
You've never tried Barry Norman's pickled onions?
No.
Have you tried Lloyd Grossman's arrabbiata sauce?
I don't think so.
No, could do that. Have yeah, you tried...
I could do that. We could do a new one. You could host it where yeah. I just try pasta sauces.
It would be quite a short... I mean, you could do all the Lloyd Grossman different
ones. If it was
ones.
Just an audio thing, it would just be the sort of sloppy noises.
Yeah. I would definitely
sauces.
Give it a go. That will work. Was Warwick Davis doing Celebrity Squares when you did it?
Yeah, he was there. Yeah. I didn't interact with him much. I was too... you know, in my own sorrow.
It was a weird series in that they tried to get... It was like a sort of throwback to Celebrity Squares, but they got quite a lot of current and quite cool people. I think like Sarah Pascoe was
yeah,
in it and Bridget Christie.
Joe Wilkinson was a regular.
Yeah.
Who's amazing. Yeah. Has he done...
No, he hasn't done this yet.
It.
He hasn't, done it at Leicester Park. Well done. Just checking you're still there.
They're so dedicated to
they
it.
Are.
It's brilliant.
It's scary. They're like...
They're scary.
Unlike some of them are nuclear physicists. I mean, the nuclear physicists sitting next to the insect scientists. Imagine if those two guys get together.
I do remember... You said you were going to ask me about insects.
Yes, I was.
I do remember... This is so sick, popping a tadpole, because I thought it was like a pod.
Well, I'm still going to have to stop you. Just go over to the insect scientist. Is a tadpole an insect? No.
Oh. Amphibian.
It's nice to have an insect expert there, because, you know, I wouldn't have felt comfortable saying I'm going to have to
no,
stop you, Katie.
Right.
That is not an insect.
You're
that
right.
is an amphibian. It's a fetal amphibian.
It is an amphibian.
Yeah. How do you know about that? Stick to your own subject, mate. Stop saying I know about amphibians.
On Airbnb,
you popped a tadpole.
As a joke, someone's posted an insect hotel.
Right.
It's not a very funny joke, is it? But they've gone to the trouble of posting it.
Yeah. Well, I saw something like that when I was looking for houses. There was a house that was a load of insects. There was loads of insects.
Was it called Dame Catherine's Insect Hotel?
I don't think it was. I think there's
called.
Obviously people going around making up...
And it's like, oh, 18 rooms, very cosy, and then a picture of all the insects in a sort of...
It was on for £18 million, I think, this insect
that sounds
thing.
Quite reasonable.
Which
given...
was the kind of age, this kind of range I was looking in. That's why I came across it.
It's very stained, this chair. Do you know
thank
that?
You. Yeah, we're getting new chairs for the next series.
Thank you. Oh, good.
That's one of the things from the Kickstarter, new chairs. George, the sound guy, he hates these chairs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
what were we talking about? Oh,
because it reminds him of listening to his mum and dad having sex. The next takes him back.
Poor guy.
When
why
he was 28 years old,
that?
I don't know. You popped a tadpole. Was it a Welsh tadpole?
It must have been.
I don't feel so bad.
One less, as far as you're concerned, on the planet.
We all did cruel things to. To animals.
That's as bad as it got, I think. Yeah. Didn't get to serial killer territory. No.
It is the starting point of many serial killers.
That's absolutely. Yeah. That's why I mentioned
popping
it.
Popping a tadpole.
Charles Manson.
He popped a tadpole.
He must have popped tadpoles.
To be fair,
I didn't know he wrote folk songs.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, he's
I didn't know that. Yeah. I never knew that.
Very talented man.
Yeah,
it's a shame. In a way, it's a shame he went down
job.
The went down the having a cult who yeah, murdered people and putting a swastika on his head route. In a way.
Yeah.
It was a bold decision, wasn't it? It's a bold decision when people have a tattoo of anything on their face, but a swastika right in there, that's making a statement.
It's sort of like the tattoo you'd have in a sketch. It doesn't seem to be real life tattoo, does it? Do you know what I mean? No. It's so extreme, you sort of couldn't believe.
Yeah, it's probably not as bad as the other stuff he did. So it's... You've got other people to do it. That's where this is all leading. For me, you lot. I'm getting you all... All on side, they're just bit by bit. If we start with just shouting acronyms out, then it will lead on.
It's like that film, The Wave.
I haven't seen The Wave.
Oh, well. You haven't got the reference.
Is there a film in which a man does podcast and then makes
that
people.
Film, The Wave?
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I think anyone who's seen The Wave knows what you mean.
Yeah.
And the rest of us. Feel quite alienated and upset. Yeah. We're not in on, which I like. I like
it's
to do that.
It's a pretty highbrow film.
It is. I tell you what, I really liked in Edinburgh that I saw you in, which went on to be a radio show, was Party, or Party, which was written by Tom
Second
Basden.
One, yeah. Yeah. No, that was, yeah, I got a lot out of that. It was great. It was a play about a group of sort of young, but quite stupid, sort of idealistic people who'd set up their own political party. And I think Tom Basden, the writer, said it was roughly based on how Cambridge Footlights meetings, how they used to go. but it was such brilliant writing, and I suppose it was sort of taking the piss out of, these people who were so well-meaning but didn't realise that their own sort of egos was so caught up, and taking it so seriously. And then it was a radio series, about 4 or 5, and then we did a TV pilot, which was brilliant, but didn't go anywhere, as is the case so often.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I am. I'm trying to.
I wish I'd get as far as a TV pilot, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. I should be I'm very blessed.
Well, do check that out. I'm sure you can find that online.
We might be doing more. Yeah,
oh, really? Great.
Tim Key is in it and Johnny Sweet. In fact, the year we were performing it in Edinburgh was the year that Tim and Johnny won Maincomer...
Maincomers, which in Edinburgh is quite a feat.
Yeah, we've all met the maincomer in the courtyard. The main award and newcomer, that it wasn't even a good story.
still worth it. And my fans will be very, I mean, they'll know, but they'll be very excited to know you're on Torchwood, the Doctor Who based spin-off. Yeah. I've been in Doctor Who, the audio version. What did you play in Torchwood? It's a Welsh-based thing, so there you were, bang, straight in.
Yeah. I've never watched it. I've never seen it. I played someone's sister.
Yeah.
And then they later died. It was a long time ago. I can't really remember.
Was it Doctor Who's sister?
No. Okay. It was a character...
The bloke off of children's TV's sister.
I don't know what you
mean. I didn't really watch Torchwood.
Dick and Dom.
Was it Dick and Dom's sister?
It was a character called Yanto. Yanto. His sister.
Yeah, anyone remember Torchwood? One as good as Doctor Who, was it? They went under the Cardiff thing. They lived underneath the Millennium Dome or something?
I don't know. It's
amazing. So, and you've been in Sherlock, which I auditioned for Sherlock and I didn't get the point. I don't like to talk about it. I've forgotten the name. It was Agitated Man or something, like Annoyed Man.
Was that your name?
Yeah.
Agitated.
I can't believe I had to audition. I was saying to Richard Osman about a month ago. It was nothing on there, but you had a proper part in it.
Yeah, I did. It was good fun. Yeah.
I've been in a toilet with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Me too.
Yeah. I've been in a toilet with Benedict Cumberbatch in Buckingham Palace.
Oh, is this the game? So yeah. To remember. Okay. Yeah. I've been in a toilet with Benedict Cumberbatch in Buckingham Palace, and I bought a lemon. Like the is that how it works?
That could be how
the shopping
it works.
Game.
When were you in a toilet with Benedict Cumberbatch?
During Sherlock.
Oh, were you?
An actual toilet. Yeah. No, it was. There was a moment. There was a read through. And there, I was about to say bisexual toilets, but I mean unisex.
Yeah.
And we both went into these bisexual toilets, and I heard someone weeing, and then I saw his shoes, and I remembered his shoes from the read-through because they were quite distinctive.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I might WhatsApp someone and say I can hear him weeing, but I didn't.
Yeah. I've heard One of Eternal having a wee.
Oh, Eternal.
They didn't know I was listening, but I was listening.
Can you remember which one?
I don't know which one it was. I was when I presented
the middle one.
One of the two occasions I presented Top of the Pops. Yeah, that's right.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's
I'm
so
one of the
cool.
few Top of the Pops presenters who is not currently in prison. And I say currently. By the time this goes out, who knows? I had the dressing. Me and Stuart Lee were presented a couple of times. I think we had the same dressing room, but the dressing room was next door to Eternal's dressing room. And I heard one of Eternal having a. I could hear her weeing, but she was also practicing her song on the toilet. So I heard the beautiful sound, and I think most of Eternal's music could be improved by.
Wheeze had been Eternal.
Yeah.
Gone on and on and on.
They could have done. So I don't know which one it was. I'm hoping it was Kelly, because that's the one I like the best.
They always were in the same order, weren't they? Like Anton Deck.
Yeah.
I think Kelly was always on that end, and the one with the long hair was in the middle. The one who had.
And Louise Nerding, where did she stand?
Are you not thinking of All Saints?
No, Louise Nerding was originally in Eternal.
Oh, okay.
Part of the reason they got rid of Louise Nerding, I believe, is because in America they didn't like the idea of black and white people being in the same group. They couldn't cope with that in the type of music they had. So they had to get rid of Louise Nerding, and then she married Jamie Redknapp and then became Louise Redknapp. Oh.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Not that I'm obsessed with Eternal or anything, and listen, you know, and trying to track them all down and have a list of ones I've heard weeing with a tick by the one. That is not what I do. So I just, by accident, I heard one of Eternal weeing. That's the only person I can think of. I'm trying to think of. As a man, you end up standing next to people at urinals and sometimes, but as a woman, it's not as often, is it? What you're nearly most famous for was appearing in the Harvey's furniture bumpers that appeared during Coronation Street.
I've forgotten about that. God, it got me a flat. I mean, yeah, no regrets. Yeah.
Did you get recognised from that? Because that was going out of primetime TV. Because it was going out. It was part of Coronation Street.
Did I? No, not. I don't know. I wouldn't.
I've never heard of Harvey's furniture. Did they still going?
They. I have no idea. They actually did offer us free furniture, and I don't think we took it. A lot of is it called pleatherette? What's that? Is it called pleather? Like
false
fake
leather.
It's a good name if it is. Is it called that? Yeah. It's that sort of vibe. Yeah.
And you played Hattie Jakes.
Oh yeah, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Hancock, was this the one of the reimaginings?
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, I guess it was slightly off the radar. It was on BBC Four. I hadn't really seen. It's not really my thing. The Carry On films. I wasn't really familiar with them. I mean, I was aware of them, sort of, in our cultural history. But I guess what was quite difficult about it was that everyone else was known as an impressionist already of the person they were doing. And I just sort of approximated, watched a few. I guess what was difficult as well is that she seemed to have a different, I don't know if this is interesting, but she had a different kind of way of speaking and different characters she used to speak. And so it was quite, someone doing Sid James or Kenneth, like it's really obvious what you should do.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite have that.
She's quite an interesting person.
Yeah, in fact. My parents used to live next door to her dresser.
Right.
She's dead now.
Okay.
But this sweet woman was her dresser for years, and she used to come over. It's when we lived near the Brecon Beacons. So the neighbour would come over every Christmas and have a couple of sherries and just say, she was very unhappy. She was very unhappy. That would happen every year.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't go into much detail. She just kept saying she was very unhappy. So I had that. That's all I had.
Yeah. Was she married to John LeMessurier?
Yeah, he was friends with my grandfather.
Right,
because he was also a jazz musician. They used to hang out. And I think he was quite hopeless, wasn't he? And she really had to do everything for him.
Maybe. I think then she had an affair with someone else. And she was quite a one, old Hattie Jakes.
I just said the lines. I didn't worry about any of that.
No.
I didn't do much research. But yeah, no, it was, it was a different, you know... Nice to do different stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've been doing lots of... I mean, because you started out as a stand-up, and you're mainly really an actor now, I think it's fair to say. Would you go back to stand-up?
No, I think at the moment I'm just writing more.
Right.
And I feel like I could retire to writing.
Yeah.
I just really love it as I get older.
You've written books of monologues for...
Yeah, I've written some books. I'm trying to write a new book at the moment. It's in development, and... It might happen, which would be exciting. It's sort of a memoir,
okay.
But with some specific kind of themes. So if that happened, I guess that would be a good, 6-8 months writing that.
Yeah.
I'd love to write it. I hope it happens. I write quite a lot for radio and just bits and bobs.
And what was the idea? Because you've written a couple of books about... So monologues for female actors, is that what they...
Yeah, it was kind of like... I always loved Alan Bennett's Talking Heads. I was always obsessed with them. I wanted to write something like that, and it seemed like a lot of like women in particular would write to me and say, I've got an audition or I need to do something funny for this. Have you got any ideas? And it just felt like there wasn't the thing that they wanted that hadn't been heard before.
Yeah.
So I started writing them as a favour to friends. I was like, oh, well, I'll write you something, 5 minutes long.
That's a pretty nice favour.
Yeah, but then but it's also a good writing exercise.
Yeah.
It was good. And then I suddenly had enough that I could publish them. And yeah, it was great. It was a nice feeling to have an ISBN number. It's a nice feeling.
Cool. I've got Dire Straits written down here, and I didn't. There was a video about you and Dire Straits, and I thought I won't watch it, and I'll see what you have to say about Dire Straits.
It was, Alan Davis's programme.
Oh, yeah.
What's it called? As Yet.
It's called Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with Alan Davis.
How did it come up? I hadn't planned to talk about it. It was something It was really, really fun. I mean, I was so drunk by the time it came around to me. I can tell when I watch it back, all the tells. It's not a good idea being drunk on television. I've only done it once before when I went on Buzzcocks. That was awful. Sorry.
Well, sometimes it can.
I interrupted myself. Why did I end up telling a story? I can't remember, but it was so odd because there was... in my school, there was a competition and you had to find a heart-shaped pebble. And I think it was something to do with, like, heart health, but based in Wales. So I think they had the idea of, oh, that's how we'll link it up. So I spent ages looking for this. And they said the prize was really good, but they didn't say what it was. But I think they hinted it would mean meeting a celebrity. So I found the best heart-shaped pebble, took it into school. They said, yeah, you've won. It was really exciting. And it was lots of schools in Wales took part in the competition. So I was told to turn up at this hotel on a certain day to collect my prize. So I think my older brother went with me as a chaperone. I was about 11. We got to this posh hotel in Cardiff and they said, right, go up to like the very top floor. So we went up and then a man sort of went, oh, congratulations, can I look at your pebble? I showed him the pebble. And he said, well, the prize is you're going to meet through that door is Dire Straits. And I didn't know what that meant. I thought it was like a concept or like a ride. I don't know, I was confused.
Yeah.
I thought... you're going to die yesterday. What? What's he saying? So I started crying because I just didn't understand. And my brother was like, oh, it's okay, it's a band. But he didn't really know. So we went into this room and I think Mark Knopfler, is that his name? Yeah. I think he was standing there. I don't really remember. I just remember a tall man with like slightly grey hair and quite a big nose. And he said, oh, hello, can I look at your pebble? And I showed him. And he said, do you want an autograph? And I said, no. And then we went. So weird, but... And then there was a rumour that it was going to be Kylie and that she dropped out.
Yeah.
It was even sadder.
Well, that would make more sense for some schools.
I know, but I'm sure that happened.
Some 11-year-old school kids meeting a middle-aged rockers band.
It sounds so suspicious. I asked my mum about it the other day, and she was like, I remember the pebble bit.
Yeah.
But then she... And I said, oh, yeah, but you didn't come with us to the hotel room. Why not? I was 11. And she got... Yeah.
Said they work in show business. You can trust them. They'll be fine. This, what could possibly go wrong? Middle-aged men asking to see your pebble.
I mean... I like to think he then wrote a whole song about me, but that didn't happen. Yeah. Heart-shaped pebble. So poetic.
Well done for finding the best heart-shaped pebble.
Well,
though.
There's some good beaches in Wales.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, if, with determination, you can do it.
Have you still got the pebble or did you have to give it in?
No, sorry.
Okay.
No, I can't.
So you were in the sitcom Not Going Out for a good while.
Yeah, man and boy. Yeah. A long time.
So is that your first biggish break?
My first ever TV job was 28 Acts in 28 Minutes.
Oh, was it?
On BBC Three. Yeah. Do you remember that?
I did the radio. I wasn't allowed on the TV because I'm not allowed on TV anymore. But
I forgot.
I did the radio version.
I forgot that.
So you do a minute's worth of material. It's a lovely job to get. It's quite hard though, right?
Yeah. Then my second ever job was extras, which was terrifying for like your first time on a set. That was quite scary. And then, not long after that, Not Going Out. Yeah, I was quite young when I got it. It was an amazing... Lee is so... he's so generous with his gags. It's so refreshing.
Yeah, it's been amazing, because that sitcom did quite a few series and then they were going to take it off and then
and then it
put back on by popular demand.
And it's still going, And, he is. He's so lovely. Like, he genuinely gets joy from watching, other people get a laugh and gives away some of his best stuff. It's so nice. Like, I've definitely worked with comics who, they can't bear it. They cannot bear it if someone else gets a laugh. There's like, it's like they're going to, it's like they're facing their own extinction. They can't bear it. But that's what's so, lovely about him.
But it wouldn't, I mean, I think especially in an ensemble thing, it would be weird to...
want to have. I mean, I guess it does happen.
But he doesn't like keep the best lines for himself or anything like that. You know.
He seems like a nice man, Lee. I know him quite well.
Yeah, me too. He is. He's.
You
lovely.
Did another. You did a play with him.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was interesting. I can't talk about it freely because I'd have to say how I felt about it. So I can't say anything about it.
I imagine you really enjoyed it then.
You know what I mean?
That's what it's I'm picking up from this.
Because I'm friends with so many of the people. It was fine.
I think they put that
it
on the poster.
It was what it was. It was an experience.
Good. Well, we won't talk about that. That's okay. I'll ask you... I can't ask you some Christmas emergency questions. That would be insane. It's January now. We're well into January.
Doesn't time fly?
It does. I'll ask you yourself. Some regular... I mean, there are some regular...
These make me nervous.
You should be nervous. If you had to marry a piece of furniture, if you had to, which piece of furniture would you marry? I've given you that especially because of your love of furniture.
Oh, right.
It just came up.
I think an armoire sounds romantic.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or a footstool.
It'd be good to marry a footstool. I mean, you know, that's a useful thing.
Well, they're so handy, aren't they? Yeah.
But would it mind you sitting on a chair? You'd have to have a chair to have a footstool. The footstool might be jealous.
You mean would it be jealous?
Yeah.
Is it
to be
sentient?
Fair, the chair's getting the good bits.
Does it have emotions?
Unless the footstool is a pervert and likes feet. And anyone who likes feet is a pervert.
Oh, I thought it was
I know that's most of you.
I thought it was like people that fall in love with objects. Is it called erotomania? Like the woman that married the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah, there's
I assumed, I didn't think it was sentient. Does it have emotions?
Well, who knows? I mean, I would imagine you think it does. If the other one who's married a piece of furniture, throw this back at me.
Someone would have to kick it down the aisle when we got married. Like, how would it go down the aisle?
Or drag it on a piece of string.
The vicar
is on wheels.
The vicar could have it on wheels.
Yeah. I imagine they put the footstool just at the would altar ready
little,
for you.
You know, little suit for the wedding.
Could do. You come up the aisle, you're the bride, so the footstool's just waiting
at
the altar.
Yes, you're right, it's already placed there, isn't it? Yeah.
Unless with it's the a female footstool, and you're the groom female.
Mm. All sexless.
Everything's allowed now. Everything's allowed.
I say that.
Would you rather be allergic to wood or not?
Wood the material?
Yeah.
Or woods? Not the word wood.
Wood, you know, like wood.
Your
choices are you're allergic to wood or you're not allergic to wood. Which would you prefer?
Can I choose the symptoms? What happens?
Well, you'd be allergic to. You'd get hives, I imagine. Probably sweat. It'd be awful. I mean, I think it's quite an obvious choice, but I'm glad you...
Then I would.
I mean, you might not be able to breathe, and there's wood everywhere. It would be very inconvenient to be allergic to wood.
If the reaction was very mild, and I got like a whole Edinburgh show out of it, and
well, that's interesting. As a comedian, you sort of do think, where could this lead?
But I think all things considered,
yes,
though.
Okay. Not. You're the first person to have asked that question, and possibly the last.
Sorry.
No, it's not your fault. It's very much the fault is within the question.
In the writing.
Very much within being the 400th question I was writing in a book of 500.
Is my mascara run yet?
Okay, here's one. Would you rather be able to turn your head like an owl or have a neck that telescopes up to the length of a giraffe's neck but can go back to normal neck length at will? A head that turns like an owl or a neck that telescopes up into the length of a giraffe? I mean, that sounds more interesting, doesn't it?
I'm trying to think of an advantage where I would have to move my head but not my body with it. I would choose the owl, actually, over the giraffe.
It's 360-degree vision, basically.
I think that'd be a laugh.
With the giraffe, you can see over stuff.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think the last time I'm quite tall. I'm trying to think the last time I was in a situation where I thought, I wish I could see a bit higher.
Yeah.
I can't think of one.
When you're behind something?
Yeah.
Just the first thing that springs to mind for me. Like, what do you like watching? You could go to football matches and just
not
watch.
For me.
Okay. You could go to
to see
go
a play.
To tennis matches and watch.
I can't. I don't think
you
I
could
do
go.
That.
You can't go to a play because the plays are in theatres and you I suppose you could put your head...
If you put your head, like
your giraffe head, you were outside the theatre and put your giraffe head into the theatre.
If I was trying to see over the...
But then the theatre people go, get your head out of here, you haven't got a ticket.
Over the brow of a hill?
Yeah, if you're trying to go over the brow of a hill. If you were in Pontypridd and you needed to look over some of the wooden bridges that aren't there
anymore.
I'd go
with the owl because I'm quite paranoid.
You're worried people are talking about you behind you?
It'd be nice to be able to see
what's
happening all around.
Do you imagine people
are talking... My final answer, Chris, is owl.
You imagine people, when they're right behind you, are doing awful things? Is that what you think? Because, like, it's not likely... If people are going to talk about you, they'll wait till you're out of the room. They're not going to get... Oh, it's all right, we're behind her.
They're probably talking about...
I think she's got human vision.
About my weird owl.
And she probably... Neck. Probably can't hear us because she's looking the other way. Let's talk about Kate. No. Okay. Fair enough. No, it was a stupid question. In a way, those were... I feel silly asking those questions. In a way, you've destroyed the whole ethos of this. I'll ask you this. We'll go for some of my exciting new emergency questions. What's the worst swap you have ever made?
I feel like I've swapped my dignity for money sometimes.
Yes. You know you don't get paid for this.
That.
Okay, that's good. Why do you think everyone stopped wearing hats?
I don't think they have.
Not everyone has, but in the old days everyone used to wear hats and now hardly anyone wears hats. Do you have a theory about why that might be?
I think maybe... I don't know, maybe after the war ended, things lightened up, less formal.
It's a good theory.
Thanks.
I think it's because of getting in and out of cars.
But people were still wearing hats when cars were around.
Then they thought it's inconvenient, you've got to take your hat off all the time. And then someone thought, why not wear a hat?
Maybe it's to do with church. It was always seen as quite a lot.
Yeah, because you had to take your hat off in church, and then people stopped going to church. Thought, I don't need a hat to take off anymore.
Maybe
so
it's
I'll just
do with that. Yeah. If I ever meet a ghost, I'll ask.
Okay. Have you ever seen a ghost?
That's one of the questions.
It
isn't
is.
It?
It's an old school one.
Well, obviously not, because I don't think they exist. But I want them to exist.
Yeah.
I love ghost stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I have. And if I have, I wouldn't say I had.
Wouldn't you?
No.
So you might have.
Yeah, I might have done.
That makes me think you have.
Well, I think I've seen things, but I think I was very tired.
I think that's how it works, though, isn't it? The
veil is thinner.
Well, you're tired, the light's weird, so you catch something out of the corner of your eye.
It's weird how people don't claim to have seen, like, Neanderthal ghosts or cavemen ghosts. Like, when did souls begin? Like...
The Bigfoot.
That's not a ghost, though,
not a ghost,
is it?
Mate, that's a real thing.
The Sasquatch.
At least fucking think before you shout out Bigfoot. Is a Bigfoot a ghost? No.
You know, like when there was first
it's
life.
It's a real thing. It's a live thing. A ghost can't walk through a forest and go.
That's true. I hope not. I'd be terrified.
I apologise for my
audience.
It's
hard to know when ghosts are supposed to begin, like when we first crawled out of the primordial soup. When did the first soul happen?
Yeah, well, that is a very big philosophical question. Yeah. I'm not sure that this podcast is
the right place, it's the right forum.
But I'm going to have a fucking go. Huh. I think when God invented us and we ate from the Garden of Eden apple tree...
Right.
In
so were
6,000
Adam and
Eve's BC.
Ghosts somewhere?
Yeah, maybe. Well, yeah, maybe.
I'm asking you, like... you.
Yeah, I think
like
they probably are. Why has no one ever seen them walking around with an apple and no clothes on?
No one's ever claimed to have seen Adam or Eve's ghost.
No. I don't think everyone becomes a ghost. That would be confusing. I think it's just restless spirits.
Okay.
You know, we might be ghosts now. We might be... Have you not thought about that? We might be ghosts and we think we're alive and all of us are dead. Except one bloke in here who's going,
I think I'm too narcissistic to think I'm a ghost.
Okay. What is the strangest thing you've ever found in the embers of a bonfire?
Oh, some bunting.
Some bunting?
Yeah.
Like flags and stuff?
Yeah.
In a bonfire?
Yeah.
How did it get there, do you know?
Don't know.
Oh.
I just remember seeing the coloured triangles half burnt.
Someone was burning bunting.
Yeah, I don't know, like a WI that went wrong or something. Interestingly, the word bunting, do you know where it comes from?
I don't. Is it Emma Bunting?
No. I wish. There used to be huge, like, slag piles, like, on the Euston Road, like, in the 1850s. Okay. And women used to sift through them looking for things to sell, like scraps of material and, you know, old chicken bone. And they were called bunters.
Right.
And that's where the word comes from.
Thank you.
Audition for QI.
Thank you for that piece of information.
Well, it's true. Peter Aykroyd's book.
Oh, the London book.
The London book.
Oh, that is a great book. That is a very good... Read that book. That is a good book. Don't read Richard Osman's book.
Has he got a book out?
Richard Osman's got a book out. It's rubbish.
What's it about?
It's nothing. It's just him writing loads
of
shit.
Is it called Pointless?
It's not like this. Not a proper thing like this. Not proper.
Oh, Christmas. There's a Christmas version.
Christmas emerged. Isn't that Christmas?
That's very savvy of you.
Thank you. What is the most important thing you've ever unplugged to charge your phone? That's nice, isn't it? Richard Osman, I slag him off. I was only joking. Then I'd take his question.
That's a really great question.
Thank you. Yeah, it's Richard Osman's question. He's amazing. He's a genius, and his book is amazing. I mean, you won't want to read it now in January, but it'll be great for next Christmas. If you wait a bit, it's probably get discounted.
The sort of joke answer would be like a life support machine.
It would. That's what Richard Osman said.
Did he? Yeah. I would say someone else's iPhone who was really irate.
It's an odd thing, isn't it? I think that
it's an odd etiquette.
Well, it is. There's an odd etiquette of iPhone use, and like, you're worried about. When I was in Edinburgh this year, my phone was always running out, and I bought a plug to put in the dressing room at the Pleasance.
Yes.
And I thought, should I leave this out and so anyone can use it?
Yeah.
But if I do that, someone will steal it. So I didn't leave it out. I hid it in the dressing room. But I felt really bad for hiding it in the dressing
room. That says quite a lot about your worldview.
Well, I just knew someone would nick it. Definitely.
Because I would think, I wouldn't have assumed. And by mistake, maybe.
No. Just they'd go, I'll have that.
And did it happen? No, you didn't buy it.
I know, I bought it and I hid it in the cupboard. And they never found it. Still got it. I can show it you if you like.
It's so good to me. Yeah. I'm at the point. I've got like a bootleg one, and it's about getting it at the right angle now. And it will work at sort of 45 degrees. Yeah. It will charge. It's quite exciting.
Yeah, I'm 50, so that reminds me of.
Of what? Okay.
Did you know that Dairy Milk was going to be called Highland Milk? Dairy Milk Shop was going to be Highland Milk Shop.
How did you find that out?
I read Rich Osman's book. It's very good.
Highland Milk.
What, if you had to have a chocolate bar inserted in your anus, had to, which chocolate bar would you choose?
Maybe a Chomp.
Chomp.
Yeah. Yeah, that feels right.
Yeah.
Now I've said it, yeah. It feels right. Yeah.
Terrific. Well, you've got lots of stuff coming up. You've got
terrific.
It's a terrific answer.
And also,
I don't think there's a better word.
Terrific.
I don't think there's a better word to say in a Welsh accent than a chomp. I have to say.
I don't have one.
You did just when you said a chomp, it came out Welsh. It was
Let's
lovely.
Let's be honest, though. I don't.
It was. If you put a chomp up your anus, it will come out Welsh, and that is that's my Rich Herring guarantee. So you're doing loads of like proper acting. You're in Decline and Fall.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, that was great. Yeah, have you ever read it? You seem like you would have done.
I think I might have read it.
You must have.
It's hard work, isn't it, reading?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd rather watch the TV show.
No, it's Been and Gone. That was like, it was on, I don't know, a year and a bit ago.
Oh, was
it? It was very classy. It was lovely. Me and Gemma Whelan, you know her?
I do, she's in everything.
Sisters.
She's
yeah. Girl. Yeah, no, it was proper acting. You're right. It was good.
Have you got more stuff like that coming up?
Well, I've just finished filming. Do you know Jamie Dimitriou?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So I've just filmed his series for E4, and it's amazing. It's really, there's something really special about it. I think it's going to be really funny. So they're just editing it at the moment. It's called Staff, and it's because that's the name of his. He plays this like a Greek London sort of letting agent. It's all based in the letting agents. It's very sort of influenced by The Office. It's all very uber naturalistic. It's very funny, I think.
I think I saw I've seen him do that character. Black, I don't know if it's a black. It was a black.
So him and his sister Tash Dimitri. They're both so hilarious. And Dustin from Seven Dustin is in it. Tom Sturton. I don't know if these are just syllables. That's what I mean. That I've just finished that like last week. That I think it's really funny.
Cool. It's difficult these days because things are like there's so many stuff. There's so much stuff coming out in a way in all different media. It's hard for something to shine through, isn't it?
Yeah,
things have to work straight away as well, don't they?
You talked about this before, but yeah, when Anya and I had our series, it's I suppose gone are the days where you say, "Well, I've got my own show now, so everything will change."
Yeah.
It just doesn't work like that anymore. It's sort of this weird negotiation of, oh, well, I think it's done okay. Let's see how many people watched. It doesn't end there. It feels like, yeah, like that used to feel like that was, you could relax and you go, oh, well, that's that then.
Yeah.
We've kind of made it. And, it's quite hard to make an impact now, isn't it, when there's so many new TV programmes.
Well, it is, and they always, and of course people are always looking for the new thing as well, and going for, it's sort of hard to get scripted stuff on TV as well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, people always talk, don't they, about, like, the first series of Blackadder not being, it got better, it found its feet, and I watched, like, the... when I was trying to write a script and I watched like the pilot of Ab Fab the other day and it was brilliant, but it was like the first scene was like 15 minutes long of just sort of characters talking, and you wouldn't be allowed to do that now. Someone would like get a big red pen out and go, no, every scene's 3 minutes long and it moves the plot along. What are you doing? I felt quite nostalgic about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So are you writing scripts as well as books?
I've got a couple of scripts in development, you know what it's like. You just sort of keep going. I think sitcoms especially hard. The kind of structural rules I found quite difficult.
Sure.
It's all the dull maths bit, it feels like.
And so you're not gonna go back to Edinburgh? You're not gonna do...
Oh, well, I always visit.
Yeah.
But I've just started doing live stuff again, which is really lovely. I'm enjoying it because it doesn't feel like the pressure of, oh God, it's going to go well. It just feels like it's something to do.
Well, because you did all these characters with Anna as well.
Yeah.
So there's all this wealth of stuff there.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, it's nice to be doing... I did... The last Edinburgh just gone, I went up and did a couple of like sketch nights.
Right.
And it was great. It just... And I sort of forget, because I'm friends with all these sort of younger ones now in their like mid-20s, who are all, you know, brilliantly talented and... the ones coming up, I forget, like backstage at a gig, you know, I sort of think, what's wrong with you all? Because I forget, like, and they seem really intense, more than we were. We were just like, well, we'd be doing this anyway, even if we don't make a career out of it. It's for fun. And not all of them, but a lot of them, you know, have career plans more than I do. Like, really, I don't know if it's like the economic factor as well of feeling like, you know,
I think it is a little bit. I think, and I go back a lot further than you, but, it was something people were doing for fun and to have a fun time, and you can't afford to do that anymore. You can't, I would just go to Edinburgh to get drunk, really, and the show was like
we were
a little...
always drunk.
That was a little inconvenience, having to do a show for an hour a day.
But now it's like, you know, they're so knowledgeable about, like, the how it works as an industry, and they're... You know, hear them like analysing and giving each other notes after the show, like, you did this, we've got to do that, and that person's in, and we've got.
Yeah.
So we were always just like.
What a load of pricks. I hate young people, these bloody millennials coming here.
Pricks.
Trying to do stuff well.
Yeah.
Or I'm just making up a load of shit. Bloody hell. Maybe quite cross. We're gonna have to stop. I'll take a random emergency question, or should I do an unrandom one?
No,
I'll do
the pressure's on for like a big ending.
It's gotta be, you've got the answer to this. A, the question's gotta be good. That's a lot of pressure on me.
Okay.
B,
it's 50% you.
B, it's more than 50% me.
Okay.
What is the worst Adam Sandler film?
I hate it. I hate this question.
You must
ask. I don't know if I've seen one.
Oh,
is that weird?
No, it's
That's
not
what
weird.
I mean
it's,
about...
it's it shows a commitment to living a good life. I've
Thank
seen
you.
I've seen all of them.
But I've heard you talk about the cobbler.
Yeah. The cobbler is worth having a
and
look
I'm
at.
I'm so intrigued.
There's
yeah.
a new one Maybe out tomorrow. That's quite good. Got Dustin Hoffman in it, and it's apparently quite good. I can't bear to watch it.
What's it called?
Oh, something like the Brothers Carrying
the Minoff or something. Yeah. I feel like I've seen a bit of Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah, that's too good. You can't come in with that. That's the best Adam Sandler film.
Wasn't that the question?
No, what's the worst the Adam Sandler film? Oh, okay. What's the worst Adam Sandler film?
The Cobbler, that's what you'd want me to
yeah,
say,
that's what I'm very happy. I think Jack and Jill probably might just okay. about take
I
it, but
had
we'll
the
see.
Pleasure.
Would you work with Adam Sandler if you got the chance?
Oh, yeah, it'd be fascinating, yeah. wouldn't it? Like, he seems clinically fascinating. I think.
Good. Well, I hope you do. I hope that is the most I can hope for any actor, comedian. You get to work with Adam
Sandler. The Cobbler,
Sandler.
Too.
The Cobbler, oh. You could be the Cobbler's daughter.
Oh, wow.
And you could then.
Such an honour.
Because Adam Sandler would like that, because he'd be in that even less, but he would still get paid.
I'm going to tweet him when I get in. Okay. And ask.
I'll tweet him. I hope he listens to the podcast.
He might.
He's welcome to come on any time he wants. I would absolutely love to talk to Adam Sandler. I feel he might not be that interested.
Broken my book. So sorry. A Cobbler podcast. And then he might hear about it and turn up.
I might just go to his house and stand outside. Russell Brand knows him. I'll get Russell Brand to give me his number and I'll ring him up.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah,
who would you prefer I have on, Trev and Simon or Adam Sandler? Cheer for Trev and Simon now. Yeah. Cheer for Adam Sandler now. Yeah. It's Trevor and Simon. The people have decided in the World Cup of... Who at what?
Come on.
Come on. Yeah, okay. Come on, Adam Sandler. No, at Trevor and Simon. You're doing that deliberately. It's quite funny. It's a funny callback to about a month ago. So congratulations. It's been lovely to talk to you, Katie. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you very much. Katie Wicks!
Thank you.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Katie Wicks. The music is by Pest. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. Thank you to everyone at the Go Faster Stripe headquarters. Thank you to everyone at the British Comedy Guide. I am indebted to my producer, Ben Walker, and it's a Go Faster Stripe Fuzz production and also a Sky Potato production. Everyone produces it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.